Church bells drown in silent screams. Mama's voice still rings through to me.
And welcome to Room Mating Habits, an auditory guide to sharing spaces. I'm your landlord, Patrick Collins, and hey, the rent is late as frick from 2 weeks of us being off.
I don't remember how to do that. Oh, I'm top bunk, Matt Cremasco? Is that right? Top bunk.
I think so. And I'm still waiting for my government check to come through, bottom bunk David Barr.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. It's been a ride. We took a 2 week vacation, a little time for reflection, some downtime, some away time. You know, as any good roommate should do, we were taking some time for ourselves, putting your own oxygen mask on first, as it were. So tell me, guys, what have you been up to the last 2 weeks?
Oh, God, I wish I could say it was exciting stuff. Like, essentially, we just self-quarantined ourselves from a podcast that we don't record in the same booth for 14 days. So, you know. The wheels have been turning with new ideas, and I have none.
You know that, you seen that meme going around that says, hey, all you people, you know, isolating or in quarantine without kids, how is it? Tell me how it is. Talk dirty to me. That's my life. Nothing's changed. I said this weeks ago when we recorded. Now, granted, like, not complaining because I'm still working and I know a lot of people aren't. So, like, I'm still doing that. But honestly, but like, with having kids, my kids are so young, they don't know the difference, right? So, I mean, they get it. My older kid gets it a little bit, like, with why can't he see his friends or why isn't he going to daycare? Like, that question comes up sometimes. But, like, our days still look the same. Like, I'm not learning another language or I haven't like painted my house. I don't have that kind of time. Like, none of that's really changed for me. And it's great because I'm still working. Like, but it also, it's like, it's weird. Cause I feel even like a little more trapped, like that I can't leave my house, but I'm still, I don't know. It's hard to explain.
It's a limbo. We're stuck in this purgatory of waiting for permission to go outside and play.
Yeah.
It's this constant state of, okay, glued to the media, glued to the news, saying, how much longer? What's some updates? Give me some positive news and positive feedback, which I think we're getting fed just enough of to prevent any mass hysteria or mass panic. Because I think everybody knows that this is going to last a lot longer than the 2 weeks that they initially said. Ontario, where we all live, just said 28 days. I think that was today or yesterday that our premier, he's extended the state of emergency quarantine call for 28 days for non-essential businesses to be remaining shut down and dormant. And I think it's going to be even extended beyond that. But if they came out right out of the gate and just said 6 months to a year, shut it down, there you go. There would have just been mass panic. There would have just been this kind of looting and rioting, and
even doing it this way, there's people still getting punched in Costco lineups and shit going down. There's lots of things happening.
We talked a few weeks ago about managing like the change in the mindset, how it was going to be like an interesting case study down the road about how the government managed people's mindsets and like force them to stay in and have them buy into the message, right? And so you're right, like, to come out and be like, self-isolate, quarantine, and we'll give you an update in 6 months, people would be like, all right, fuck off, right? Like,
good one. I'm going to the beach. See ya.
So,
which a lot of people are still doing, to be honest.
Listen, but, I think parts of BC is what I see in the news more than anything, but and Florida, I mean, let's not talk about the states. Florida and that is its own separate planet.
Florida is its own planet, yeah.
Oh, man.
God, they do whatever they want. It's wild, though. Like, it's it's hard to find, even without the kids, it's hard to find stuff to do to pass the day that doesn't involve eating or drinking. Like, what else can you do?
I find myself just eating for the sake of boredom. And I love that one other meme going around with a sign in the fridge saying, "You're not hungry, you're bored. Close the fridge and lift a weight."
Yeah.
But yep. I just ignore that completely. And I'm like, ooh, my kids won't notice another half dozen Easter eggs missing. I'll just pop those right in my mouth. Yum, yum, yum. Fat, fat, fat.
They don't need these yogurt tubes. They're fine. They're
exactly. Oh, there's a rowing machine that I got for free about 4 months ago. Better not use it some more.
Mm-hmm.
The first half of this, go ahead, Pat.
That's it. I got nothing.
The first half of this, I was pretty good, in the food readiness department. Like, the freezer was full, the cellar was full. I had lots of stuff.
But you're Italian.
I know. But
I know.
And now, it's pretty clear, grocery stores aren't going to close and, you have access to food. And, there's anxiety going to the grocery store. I've been doing the ordering, but that's, almost 2 weeks out. You have to wait to pick up your groceries when you do an order. So you got to be on top of it. But my point is, I would get this anxiety at the beginning that what if they close the grocery stores? What if we run out of food? Blah, 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 blah. And so I was there were some days I wasn't even eating much because I was
what if we run out?
What if I run out of food? Or especially my kids make you eat, or what if I eat all the bananas? You know what I mean? So there was some days where I had to find that balance to be it's going to be all right. You can still get food. Anyway, totally. So it's weird. It's really weird.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it. It's weird. It's just a completely foreign. I mean, how many post-apocalyptic movies and TV shows and books and novels and stories are there out there? But the fact that it's kind of and I'm not saying, the dead are rising or anything like that, or anything to that extreme. But this is the first 15 minutes of most of these post-apocalyptic movies where shit's starting to go downhill a little bit, and people are just kind of okay, what? How do we do this?
Yeah.
Mm.
How much toilet paper should I buy?
There's a limit now. So, you can only get so much. You can't be taking your 20 packs anymore. Two per customer.
Matt.
Yeah. Matt. Listen, 6 weeks ago, I knew it was coming. Now, what I didn't know was the stock market was going to react the way it did, okay? Or I'd be making money right now. But I got the money enough to invest to make money. But I bought toilet. I didn't go crazy. I bought a little bit of everything. Extra pack of chicken, extra pack of whatever, right? Nothing Certainly. Too crazy. Just a little bit so I don't have to think about running the grocery store every 6 days. But, I feel like I told myself weeks ago, just to settle in, because this was gonna I'm trying to be negative about it. Whenever we get in discussions with our friends in our group chat about this, I probably look like the guy who's super negative. And I just feel like I struggle, and I said this before, I think I struggle to see how things totally go back to normal before there's a vaccination, right? And so everyone's excited because there's whatever this PGA Tour is targeting June for their June, July for their first tournament. And hockey keeps, NHL keeps saying, trying to come up with a plan. And NBA keeps trying to come up with a plan. And everyone's convinced the NFL is going to kick off when it's supposed to kick off. And I'm the one who goes, how's the NFL realistically going to play with 50-something guys on a team and the size of the staff they have and the travel involved and the hotels and the contact they'll come into at airports and hotels and when they get their food, they're coming into contact with hundreds of people. Even if there's no fans, limited media, limited whatever, I can't wrap my head around it. And they go, it should be fine. Okay, it's fine. Until the maid at the hotel changing their bed sheets gets them all, a whole team sick.
Yeah. Right?
And I don't want to be negative. I hope this all gets sorted out and this all comes back and it's all good and we can figure out a way. Maybe they can hammer out 1 hour test kits that everyone can have at home and hospitals are stocked up and ready for it if there's another wave or whatever, and they can try and get back to some semblance of being normal. Maybe there's other ways about it before a vaccination. I struggle to see how that will happen, but I stay positive. I hope there's a way around it or they can start doing some things, and golf would be a natural sort of first sport to come back, I think, given that you can have the separation and there's things they could do. Like, I could see that. But we had that conversation again today, not to drag this out. But how do you do that? And it came up, one of our friends said, well, they'll fly them all on the same plane, keep them together, make sure everyone's tested and safe, move them from tournament to tournament. And I go, you're going to bring these guys for 3 or 4 months? They're not going to see their families. They're just going to be locked into this group, and they're going to play 4 days of golf, get on a plane, fly to the next place, have a couple days off together, stuck in a hotel, play 4 days of golf, and do that for 4 months. Like, they're not going to want it. And I know they got to get paid, and I know whatever, but like, they don't want to do that.
No, and some of them skip tournaments and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. I'm at the point where I'm not even, no offense to these guys, but I'm not overly concerned about the PGA pros. I want to know when I can get back on the course. That's what I want to know. Yeah, I just want to go.
There's a lot of states that golf is still allowed. So we're not, like, you're in Ontario, and I don't think anything's opening here. The weather kind of sucks, but there's a lot of states where it is allowed. I think Arizona, South Carolina, I think not in California, but they're saying like no power carts or one to a cart. I think that a lot of them have raised the cups. So you're actually not digging the ball out of the cup. Like, you sort of like hit the flag like you do on some putting greens. You know what I mean? Like,
it's
raised. Yeah. So they're doing things like that.
Yeah. Just trying to make it a little bit more, less invasive, less contact. Less contact, the better. Maybe spacing out those foursomes. I fully agree. It's going to be, it's hard to see how this looks going back to normal, as you say, without some sort of
cure.
Vaccination. Yeah. And not only vaccination, but visual representation as to those who have been vaccinated or not, and how that can be like, it's not just a case of being able to wear like the yellow armband, as I was saying, because someone can get stamped, that. Well, exactly. And then like, you got to wear like all these conspiracy Instagram and Twitter pages are just having a heyday right now, calling it like COVID-1984, where this Orwellian future, which essentially it's kind of doing in 1984, the mass populace is dumbed down and encouraged to just distrust one another and tell on each other when they are doing things that are wrong, mm-hmm. which is kind of what we're doing right now, blowing the whistle on social media and saying like, this person looked at me and I'm pretty sure he breathed on my thing that I touched 20 minutes later. And, you know, it's just kind of turning into this Orwellian landscape now, where it's this complete distrust of each other and only faith in the media and the government, which is, you know, perfect for the higher ups in control. And I got theories, man. I got fucking theories. Okay. I'm the guy who comes in the room with a loose tie and an armful of paperwork and slams it on the desk, and everyone calls me crazy.
That episode of Always Funny, where it's in the basement and there's shit everywhere, all over the walls. The mail never stops.
Pat's pulling his best fucking hide from That 70 Show right now.
Just chain smoking.
It's more like Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, God.
You see, man, this like kind of rattled me. And like, I'm all for like following the rules on this. But I saw tonight that a couple instances in the news, a guy in Etobicoke out for a jog, stopped at the park to do a few chin-ups. And I think it's actually like a dedicated chin-up bar, like in the park. Like, it's not like a climbing structure for kids. Like, they have some like, you know, chin-up bar or whatever in this park. And like, in the middle of his run, he just stopped to hammer out like a set of chin-ups. Bylaw officer saw him, $800 ticket.
Boom.
And the guy said, he was like, I was polite. I said, I didn't know. I asked for a warning. I wasn't sure if that, like, I didn't think it was a big deal. The city councilor heard it. The city councilor interview was, I already given him a $5,000 ticket. Cause like, I think that's the max, right? And then there was this guy who was out on his rollerblades with his three kids in Oakville. They were at a parking lot, like the school near their house, on the rollerblades.
I saw that. I think I heard about that one.
Another $800 ticket. I don't know. Like, you can go for a jog, but you can't go rollerblade like around a circle in a parking lot. Like, why can't I go for a jog around a parking lot? I that one I struggled with a little bit. I kind of get it. Like, if you say yes to them, where do you draw the line? Like, what's the stop?
And I feel like it's one of those like discretionary things. Like, if you get pulled over for speeding, like, are they going to look for something else to nail you on because they're having a bad day? Or is it going to be like, my bad, like, sorry? And it's like, well, you know,
I think they're getting direction to like to ticket. Like
I think so.
Have more warnings. Like it's time to ticket. But that figure that figure skating, that rollerblading one, like really was like I found it, I don't know, like they're going in a circle around a parking lot rather than going like on a bigger route around the streets. Like, is it that different? Really?
Maybe it's maybe it's a ticket for being lame.
Yeah, the dad was wearing knee pads, so we're ticketing this guy.
Yeah, the knee pads.
His gobble pads.
Those are roller skates. Yeah, that's
he was doing the moonwalk, like roller skating backwards.
We've been cleaning out our basement and completely like reorganized everything, and I found my old my rollerblades, an old pair of rollerblades, not my street hockey ones, like the aggressive inline ones, where I had a phase when I was about 18 and 19 where our good friend Jordy would take his skateboard and I'd take my rollerblades, my aggressive inlines.
Ooh. Uh-oh. Extreme.
Magic Extreme Patrick is kind of like the comes rollerblades. Magic Patrick. He's kind of like, if you rub the rollerblades, sorry, the aggressive inlines the right way, Magic. Fuck it, Magic. Magic Extreme Patrick comes out. Yeah, three wishes, brother, yours. First one, if you want to have wings, you got to have Red Bull. I didn't wish for that, Magic Patrick.
Yeah.
And yours, wings, boom.
Every wish you ask for, he just gives you something random.
Red Bull. I don't want any more Red Bull, Magic Patrick. Stop it. Gives you wings. Anyways, I was wearing the rollerblades around the basement as we were continuing to clean. And my wife finally, I kept like scooting past her and doing like sick little, whoa, almost hit you. Whoa. And she's like, would you fucking quit it with those fruit boots and actually help? I was reminded as to why I married that woman. She's perfect.
Fruit boots. Nice.
Fruit boots.
I'm sticking in my rollerblades right now. They've been in the box for about 9 or 10 years probably, but I think I got to bust them out.
Magic Patrick might come out. Be careful.
That seems like a perfect segue into our leading story there about the tension and how you're dealing with it in the home.
Yes. I stumbled across this on CBC News. So say you and your roommate, and you know what? The collective three of us, I think are in situations where we are roomed with people that we are familiar with. We know them, we're with them, we're what have you. But there are roommates out there that live together, especially in more populated areas like Toronto and New York City and major metropolitan areas, where they don't really know, quote, like I'm using bunny quotes with that, don't really know the roommates that well, or may not spend very much time with them. You know, your house is simply a place for you to lay your head at night, hang your hat, so to speak. And now people are being forced to live together, not only live together, but full-on exist together. They are now working out of their homes. Mm-hmm. And say there's only one spot in the apartment or one spot in the house that the Wi-Fi is like dynamite, and you know, you're fighting over, and you're both working remotely, so you're competing with each other's noise volume. It's more noise pollution in the house. There's more, it's like a heightened sense of stress because you can't even go unwind with your buddies down at the local pub where you would spend, you know, your casual weekday or weekend evenings. So what this one company has started doing is creating they've created a mediation group. So if you and your roommate are having issues, there is, it is called the QCRS, Quarantine Conflict Resolution Service.
Nice.
It's imposed in British Columbia, Canada. And so here's one quote. I've heard lots of stories about roommates who don't know one another well, who both normally work long hours outside of the home, who are now in a small apartment trying to work from home at the same time, said Amanda Semenoff. And for example, there may only be one good camera. So I was pretty much quoting this first little bit that I read here.
That does not sound like provincial, a real name.
S-E-M-E-N-O-F-F. Semenoff.
All right.
Dirty Dave.
Meehoff. Jack Meehoff.
You nasty. Hey, is there a Jack Meehoff here?
God bless Chris Farley. Keep going.
With provincial officials directing everyone to stay home, Semenoff says people are missing their usual escape hatches. So what this group does is they help families or help families. I think that's the funniest one. Help families or roommates do things. They mediate your problems for you. They essentially, you call them and it sounds almost like an on-call Judge Judy, where you're having an issue with someone and you need someone to essentially say who is right and who is wrong.
Yeah.
And the best part about this, fees are charged on a sliding scale determined by income, starting at $20 per party per hour for making those less than $45,000 a year. In some circumstances, the fees can be waived altogether, making them sound like complete patron saints.
That's so BC. That's the most British Columbia thing ever.
Oh, for sure.
If you live in Canada, you understand
that. Yeah. Maybe it's my Scottish blood, but I was thinking the day that I pay someone to solve my problems, I will indeed be a dark day.
Yeah.
But I guess now that I say that out loud, I think I've come to realize that society and capitalism as a rule, I think, are essentially based on problems being solved with financial transactions. So maybe this isn't quite such a far stretch as I was initially thinking.
I mean, it's therapy. Maybe. Like, it's therapy.
It's therapy. Yes.
This could be considered therapy.
Our podcast?
Maybe. Yeah.
Hey, our if you want to send money, you can go ahead and
solve your problems. We swear to God, we will.
Yeah, if you want to write in some problems, we'll solve. We swear to God, we'll solve them.
The government's stealing our jam still right now. So we got nothing else going on. We're barely podcasting as is. We're essentially just reporting COVID news because everyone else is talking about how to live with one another. And that was our whole thing that we came up with before this whole nonsense even got started.
I sort of picture these like young, I picture like young professionals, like it's a BC, I'm thinking like for sure Vancouver, right? Where yeah. We know like living, cost of living is a fortune. So it's like these small apartments. Two people, maybe like they're only like kind of fresh out of school. They're really not making a ton of money yet. And they're in the small little apartment and they're both working at home. But the thing is, like, I think of my workplace, like my desk to my neighbor's desk was like basically like a shared desk. We were like 2 feet, like we could high five. That's how close we were together.
Nice. Did you guys ever high five?
Yeah, we sometimes do it on camera to be smart asses. Because people, like, we have meetings, people from all over the country, they'd be like, how close you guys sit together? And then we could do like the high five. But even like the people behind me, like, again, like you could almost turn your chair and like touch them. Right. So like, we were all pretty close together.
Yeah.
And we're always all in meetings and we made like, it wasn't really a problem, but I could see how like all of a sudden, like one of you's at the dinner table, one of you's at the couch, you're 10 feet apart. And it could, I could see how it's just not the same. Like it would be annoying. Like
the atmosphere is different. Yeah.
And even though you essentially probably have a little more space than some of these people would, like in their cubicles or at their desks at their office, like I could see it being, and what we should bring, like my brother's in Toronto with his roommate. And so I'd be curious to know how they're doing. Now they have their own bedrooms. Like it's not like a studio or anything like that, right?
Yeah, not
that. Separation. That being said, I don't know if his roommate's working. He's still working, but I'd be curious to know what their experience is, because it's not a very big apartment. It's downtown Toronto. So, I mean, prime example of two young guys, mid-20s, who are in that experience. So we'll have to maybe survey him before the next episode.
We'll dial them in for an on location interview.
No, I don't know. I like $20 to solve your problems.
We'll only charge 18.
Yeah.
18.
Plus tax.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to get audited.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, one thing you can do as well to help alleviate some of this tension is another thing that I stumbled across here, and that is a card game that you can play online. Sorry, a series of card games Now, one fan favorite. I mean, I stumbled upon this site. No free ads, but you know what? This site has given me enough pleasure that I think I'll drop a. We'll put their website. We'll put the link in our show notes. Playingcards.io. They have a few different card games you can play remotely. It's not very complicated. It's not there's no video or chat function. So if you do play with people, it's essentially an online card game hub where they have a couple different types of card games. And as I said, but that's it. There's no audio function. There's no video function. So if you are playing with people, you have to either FaceTime or Skype or call them. So there is that other side of it as well. But like it's fun as hell.
Can we pause for a second? And sorry, not to cut you off, but so there's stuff like House Party. Me and some of my friends from school got together. We played on Poker Stars, just like a fun game of poker. And we went on FaceTime while we were doing it, right? And so it was great that we have all these options, right? My wife and her friends will do the House Party thing with the FaceTime video. Yep. Could you imagine like, if we didn't have the internet? Or I'd think even further back, like Spanish flu, where you had even the power to get the information we're getting, like with daily press conferences that are streamed across the country, and then everyone has access to it. Like those kind of like regular Twitter updates. Now those can also be not good all the time, but
yeah.
So first of all, like from a standpoint of getting communication and getting information and getting updates, it's obviously the time we live in has been much different than people who, 20, even if this was 20 years ago, but then all of these other like extra like distractions and like all these companies that are putting out previously paid content for free, like even for my kid, like on the Scholastic page, they let all their stuff out for free, right? That normally has a charge to it. Could you imagine if like, and I don't do too much of this stuff, but if you had none of this, like no internet, even like nothing, like whoa, we pulled up, like
and you I had couldn't to stay even, inside, yeah.
Now we don't know what we're missing out on, but like Jesus.
You just nailed it right there. We wouldn't know what we're missing out on if it was suddenly taken away completely, for sure. People would be, calling those mediators left, right, and center as to how to
actually maybe the internet's the curse.
How do I get this gun out of my mouth?
Maybe we'd be coming out of this like jacked, healthy. We'd all have built a new shed in our backyard or like done productive things around our houses and we'd be all in shape.
You guys aren't going to come out of this jacked and healthy?
I could play playingcards.io all day. What do I need to work out for?
That's true. I'm like, guys, I have like $10 million in online fake poker money. So I'm retiring after this.
I am set. Absolutely.
So like, sick.
It's just a good thing we have some things to distract us. They're going to run dry eventually, but
yeah. Should we give this game a try, yeah. Pat? What do you think?
I'd love to give it a whirl, give it a review. And so I've taken the liberty of setting us up on now. I'd say a good chunk of perhaps our audience and perhaps the world at large has heard, or Western culture rather, has heard of Cards Against Humanity. Now, their answer to it is exactly the same, I'd say, blatant ripoff if it's not licensed, but it's called Remote Insensitivity. And it functions exactly like that. It's you just get insensitive with one, but it functions exactly like Cards Against Humanity. Along the side, there's some panels so you can full on edit the way the cards are laid out. You can edit the names of the piles so you can identify, as I've done in our little chat here, as to whose cards are whose. And in the bottom part, that is there's a bottom bar that you can drag your cards down into, and that's all. Those cards are only visible to you, so you can hold your hand and say, "Look at them all," and without anybody peeking over your shoulder or anything like that. So it's highly, highly recommended. I played it once this past weekend with a couple of friends, and we had a phenomenal time with it. It definitely took our minds off of COVID for the hour and a bit that we were doing. And actually, we were stuffing Easter eggs with little bits of chocolate as we were playing it too. Oh, so we got about two or three birds stoned at once.
There you go.
Yeah, it was great. So anyways, without further ado, let's give it a whirl. So, Dave, I think we have a special guest who's going to be playing it along with us as well.
We do. My girlfriend Haley is joining in on this game, and I hope she's not funnier than me because that would be devastating.
her answers will dictate your future on this podcast. So
yeah, this is tryouts.
This is tryouts. Okay, so without further ado, let's get going here. So first card that I've turned, what made my first kiss so awkward? Okay. And again, I'll edit out a lot of these thinking pauses. Yeah. So it sounds like we're just like so fast and witty, but so fast and witty.
I just drag one in here, eh? There we go.
Yes. You just drag them in there. Boom, boom. And you can't really tell whose is whose either. I just put a burn card in because I realized that I'm the dealer, so I shouldn't have put one in.
Okay. So okay. You're good now?
I'm good now. All right, cool. Let's go. What made my first kiss so awkward? Slaughtering innocent civilians. That would about do it. What made my first kiss so awkward? Some of the best rappers in the game. Illegal immigrants and emotions. That is far too literal. That
far emotions too real. Is far too
far
real.
Too. Yeah, that's some Dawson's Creek right there. So you know what? Because I said Dawson's Creek and I miss it so much. Emotions for the win.
Nice.
We had emotions.
Funny enough, we started to run out of shows to watch, so we started watching Dawson's Creek.
Yes, Dave. We need to skip
the episode where Dad dies. You got to skip that one.
It's in the first.
I forgot about that part.
It's in the first season, so the theme song's not even the same. It's not. It's not the.
Really? I don't remember that.
It's a totally different theme song.
I just remember TBS replays like in university, like in the morning. That's when so I remember good. It being on.
Yep. Yep. It was on right before Maury.
Did the burn card win that? Who was
no
emotions?
One else had. No one else had emotions?
I had slaughtering emotions.
Is Haley? Is Haley?
Get off the phone, Dave. You're out. I'm losing my job.
I'm going to lose my job.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Awesome.
We're going to have to have a serious relationship talk after I get off this podcast. She's showing me up.
Awesome. 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 Okay, Haley, you can be our next dealer then. Dave, do you want to relay that?
Yep, you're the next dealer.
And Dave, you also have to do the voice of Haley as well.
Hey, guys. I'm dealing.
Read the card, Haley.
I have to read the card as in you. Pat's going to cut this out, but I have to read.
I'm not going to cut anything.
He's going to cut out the explanation. He's not going to cut out the reading of the card.
Do your best Haley voice.
Okay. A recent laboratory study.
Is she from Alabama? Is your girlfriend from Alabama?
She's a Southern belle.
Y'all come back now, you hear? We're going to get us the finest Georgia cobbler.
Dave, can you put her right behind you?
They say, come on in the shop or something if you want for this explanation. Okay. A recent laboratory study shows that undergraduates have 50% less sex being exposed to blank.
That fucking
voice. Y'all want some sweet tea and cobbler?
Sorry, babe.
Don't you dare be sorry.
My face hurts. Oh, my God. A recent laboratory study shows that undergraduates have 50% less sex after being exposed to. Okay. Anyways.
Oh, God.
So you just click on the cards and then they flip over.
Okay.
Okay. Dave, you have to read them.
I guess I have to read this again. So everyone remembers what the question was, right?
Yeah.
Now, Dave, tell us again what the question was.
Okay. The question was a recent laboratory study shows that undergraduates have 50% less sex after being exposed to my ex-wife.
Read the whole question again for the second answer.
No,
you have
it. With women in yogurt commercials, finger painting, being fat and stupid. Well, guys, it's a tough decision, but I'm going to go with my ex-wife, which was Dave's pick. Suck on that.
Oh, shit.
Fixed.
I like this game.
All right. One or two more rounds.
Oh, yeah. Like yeah. Let's go for a full round. I want all you guys to have a chance.
Four rounds. Yeah, yeah. So who's the next?
Well, you can go, Dave. You won.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Next from J.K. Rowling, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Blank.
Oh, sorry. There you go.
Yeah. We got some laughter in the building. I think this is going to be a good one.
All right.
All right.
Flip them over.
So next from J.K. Rowling, Harry Potter and the Chamber of... Ooh, God, Daniel Radcliffe's delicious asshole.
I mean, topical. That's the theme.
Accurate. Accurate. All right. oh, God. braiding three penises into a Twizzler.
That's where her work really started to go downhill.
Oh, God. Courtney, Kim, Chloe, Kendall, and Kylie.
Lock them away.
Oh, God. Not giving a shit about the third world. That's bad. Okay, I got to go with... I wanted to go with Daniel Radcliffe, but I'm going to go with the Twizzler penises.
Yeah.
Twizzler penises for the win. Nicely done. All right. Final round for all the marbles?
Sure. Final round. Final round. Maddie, you're up.
All right. If you like blank, you might be a redneck. If you like blank, you might be a redneck. If you like That's blank, you might be a redneck.
Weak-ass responses to this COVID
pooping
killer.
Pooping in a laptop and closing it. Tearing that ass up like wrapping paper on a Christmas morning. Go-gurt. I don't even know what this last word is. That was the burner, I think.
What is it?
That's where in samurai culture, when they're so embarrassed if they lose a battle, they kill themselves.
Oh my God. Well, I don't think rednecks would do that. I gotta say, tearing that ass up like wrapping paper on a Christmas morning.
Oh, Pat Collins.
Tearing that ass up.
Very nice.
Attaboy, Pat. Hey. Way to tear
well done, everyone.
I'd say overall I enjoyed this, Patrick.
That was a good game. Good time.
I give it two roommates up. This is great. This is great. So I'll put the link to this in our show notes for anybody who's interested in playing. Keep an eye on our Instagram. Maybe we'll hold some fan tourneys. We'll probably get two or three people, maybe Kellen and Simon and on board.
Yep.
and participating. But hey, we're more than happy to have them. That's all good things, as they say. Whoever wants in is indeed in. All right.
Dave, you thank that Georgia peach of yours sitting across the room for jumping in.
Yes, I will definitely pass the word along.
Yes, it's always nice to have friends, always nice to have guests, and we're glad that Haley was our very first one, first time caller, probably first time listener too. But
she is a first time caller, first time listener, big fan though. Yep.
She's listening. She gets live. She's our first live. Well, she can't really hear us right now, can she? She only gets one third, I guess, of the entire experience that the world en masse is missing out on. But anyways, thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. These are crazy days indeed. So we're so, so appreciative that you took a moment to, or at least about 45 moments or so to share them with us. If you want to reach out to us at all, you can email us at roommatinghabits@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram. We are at Roommating Habits with two M's, or Twitter at Roommating Habits, but with one M on that one. Thank you so much as well to Marshall Dane for the use of our theme song, Come Back, off the album Running Stop Signs. Greatly appreciated. Great dude. Check him out. He's always running live concerts on Instagram or social media feeds. So definitely dial his ass in. And at the end of every episode, Dave likes to share a couple little fun giggles for us. When I think now more than ever, we need. So Dave, if you please.
Well, I only had, you put me on the spot here. I only had one prep, but I can easily come up with another. But to start us off, I've already tested this material and it's gone over quite well. But okay, boys, I bought some shoes from a drug dealer. I don't know what he laced them with, but I was tripping all day.
Yes.
And this is one I just came across. I haven't even read it yet, but I'm going with it. Okay. The Secret Service isn't allowed to yell "get down" anymore when the president is about to get attacked. Now they have to yell "Donald, duck."
Oh, I see what you did there.
Just give me the COVID.
Just give me the COVID.
Thank you so much, everybody. Yeah, thanks again to you all. Guys, I hope you're well. I hope you're safe. Love you all.
Thank you.
And for everyone listening. I think that's it. I didn't check my notes. I was trying to go off the dome with those.
That's it, man.
It's been so long since we've done this.
We're done here, buddy.
We're done. Thank you again, everyone, for tuning in. I'm Pat Collins.
I'm Matt Cromasco.
And I'm Dave Byer.
Thank you again, everyone. Don't be afraid to come on back, but not like that.